The D.C. Housing Expo and Home Show will take place at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center Saturday, June 27th from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. The event is free and open to the public. To get additional information and to register for Expo workshops, visit www.dhcd.dc.gov or call 202-442-7200. Don't miss this experience.
You don't usually get a stock tip from a 16-year-old, but I'm here to tell you about a different kind of stock. It's called Better Futures, a stock for social change that's not about making money. Instead, you invest to help students like me go to college. This is beyond a simple donation. It's the opportunity for America to invest in its kids and take an active stake in the future of the country. The return on your investment isn't money. What you get back is knowing you protected our potential. So one day, that potential can grow up to become surgeons and architects, executives and engineers, people who can change the future just by being a part of it. My name is Alicia, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. A public service announcement brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
I can make an impact in the world. As young people think that we can't make a difference, but not only can make a difference, but sometimes we can make the biggest difference.
We wanted to be the doers and we wanted to be the changers.
You just have to find something that you're passionate about and use your talents and your abilities to volunteer.
Volunteering doesn't have to be a chore.
It really is a reward in itself.
It helps you get farther in life.
There is no better feeling than helping somebody else.
You could see one person smile. You could tell they needed that smile, and it could really change and open up your heart to new things.
A lot of things are really competitive about individual achievement. Volunteering is a way to take a step back from that.
See a need, gather friends, and change the world.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school.net.
Welcome. I'm your host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell. Welcome to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. Welcome to all who are listening live throughout the world on Radio 1 Station 1450 AM, WLDCnews.com, and LawTalkWithEthelMitchell.com. We have a great program for you today. We are broadcasting from New York City, where I am attending my Columbia Law School class reunion. It's been a long time, and the school looks wonderful. I have to say that the opinions expressed here are solely mine and those of the guests on my show. Columbia University has not reviewed and therefore does not endorse any of the views expressed or services or products advertised. But we have a great program for you today. Anthony Rico is going to speak with us. But first, let me tell you this. As you hear me say every week, law is powerful. It can help you or it can hurt you. It impacts everything you do. What you don't know can hurt you, and what you do know can empower you. Each week, Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell brings you lawyers and other professionals to share their knowledge and expertise with you. My goal is to empower you. But remember, what you hear on this program is for information purposes only. No attorney-client relationship is established by anything said. Each circumstances are different, and you must seek individual counsel for any situation for which you need legal advice. All of our programs are archived on LawTalkWithEthelMitchell.com. So if you missed a program, go there, and the programs are posted by my webmaster, Earl Hooks. I'm broadcasting from New York City. My executive producer, Stacey Royster, is in Washington, D.C., and my radio engineer, Daryl Farley. They are ready to receive your call. So please call in if you have questions. at 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. Let's get started with today's program. Criminal lawyers are often quite unpopular because they represent people accused of very serious crimes. And those persons often face dire and, in some circumstances, fatal outcomes as potentials. The lawyer that we have as a guest today is, it's kind of hard to say an expert, but he certainly is an expert on federal death penalty cases. He has done a lot of them, and he's going to share his expertise with us. Let me tell you a little bit about Attorney Anthony L. Rico. He specializes in state and federal criminal defense litigation, particularly capital defense litigation. He is a 1978 graduate of Adelphi University and a 1981 Northeastern University School of Law graduate. He comes from Harlem, where he still lives. He has represented clients in federal death prosecutions throughout the country. He was named Attorney of the Year in 2008 by the Metropolitan Black Bar Association, the United States Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit, and the American Inns of Court awarded Mr. Rico its Professionalism Award in 2009. And he's also been appointed to the Federal Death Penalty Resource Council Project in Frankfort, Kentucky. In 2010, Mr. Rico was accepted as a fellow in the American College of Trial Lawyers. In January of 2012, the New York State Bar Association honored him with its Outstanding Criminal Defense Attorney Award. During his career, Mr. Rico has handled numerous high-profile and controversial cases, including the World Trade Center bombing conspiracy case, the U.S. Embassy bombing case, the U.S. versus Osama bin Laden et al. He was also counsel for, he has also been counsel for several police officers accused of killing people, shooting people, and he's been counsel for people accused of shooting police. Okay, very good. You also clerked for a judge that was fairly famous, too, didn't you, when you came out of law school?
Yes, I came out of law school, and I worked a clerk for Judge Bruce McMarion Wright, probably one of the smartest African-American people I've ever met. He was villainized by the press and by Mayor Koch at the time. He was called Turn 'em Loose Bruce. And he got that name because Judge Wright saw to it that African-American people were accorded the same rights as everyone else had for the bench. And by doing that, he became a lightning rod for backlash and anger by the police department and by the mayor and others, who recognized then that the criminal justice system was really used as a tool in society to keep African-American people in check, not to see them as equal rights. So I started with Judge Wright. That was really the beginning of my career, and it was really Judge Wright who got me going in this direction.
So you became determined to provide top-notch criminal defense for people who were accused of crimes. You became a criminal defense lawyer. Is that right?
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
And,
okay.
You know, and so I really started very slowly. And, you know, a very interesting thing I have to tell you. You know, I came out of law school. I went to college on a Malcolm X scholarship. I came because Judge Wright saw to it that African-American people were accorded the same rights as everyone else had for the bench. And by doing that, he became a lightning rod for backlash and anger by the police department and by the mayor and others, who recognized then that the criminal justice system was really used as a tool in society to keep African-American people in check, not to see them as equal rights. So I started with Jeff Wright. That was really the beginning of my career. And it was really Judge Wright who got me going in this direction.
So you became determined to provide top-notch criminal defense for people who were accused of crimes. You became a criminal defense lawyer. Is that right?
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
And,
okay.
You know, and so I really started very slowly. And, you know, a very interesting thing I have to tell you. You know, I came out of law school. I went to college on a Malcolm X scholarship. I went to law school. I came out of law school. I worked for Judge Wright. And after leaving Judge Wright, I, like most other African-Americans, nobody would hire me. You're sure. And so, you know, we thought at that time, well, look, all we had to do was get our degree and our education, and, you know, the doors of society would open. Well, 30 years ago, we thought that, but that was not the reality. And I ended up practicing law. I worked for a judge who had a high legal standard. And what I learned from Judge Wright was commitment to the effort, hard work, and excellence. And I always wanted to live up to the standard that Judge Wright set and placed for me. And and I took that into even the most, what you would call, insignificant criminal cases. And from that, it just developed one step after the other.
So would you, and we'll get back to I want people to call in if they have questions about criminal defense to 1-800-450-7876. But what would you say to anyone who has a young child listening who maybe doesn't have any money but has aspirations of doing something good for the community? Would you recommend that they take this up as a profession? I mean, criminal defense work? I mean, law, yes. I'm always trying to get more people to go into law. White or black, for that matter, but criminal defense in particular, is that something that you would tell other people to do?
Yes, absolutely. I would encourage any African American to first of all go to law school. We as African Americans and Latino and other minorities in this country, the rights that we enjoy in this country have only come from the courts. They weren't given to us. They were struck. They were fought in the streets and developed and sanctioned by courts. And so, when an African American person decides that they want to get a legal education, well, they're really going to get an education about our history in this country, and they're going to be equipped with a tool set that allows them to go out here and do something about what they see and experience on a daily basis. So, for example, we look at what's going on with Stop and Frisk, and we look at what's going on with all of these police shootings of unarmed suspects. These situations affect us tremendously. But with a legal education, you could get out here and do something about it.
Do something
about it. So, I would encourage a young African-American, a young anybody, get a legal education living in America. Know your rights. Because the rights you don't know will definitely be used against you every step of the way.
That's for sure. That's for sure. And I do want to say this is true for everybody, black, white, Latino, Indian, Asian, whatever. All of us need to know about these things. So let's get specifically to criminal defense and then to capital defense. First, for my audience, please tell us, what would you recommend people know about if they are approached by a police officer? But hold on to that, because we have to take a break, and we'll be right back. And then we're going to get into the substance of what you need to know about the law in terms of criminal defense. We'll take a break right now, and we'll be right back.
1450 WOL, where information is power.
District residents, act now, and you can get discounted rates and shave hundreds of dollars off your utility bills. Utility discount programs are offered by Pepco, Washington Gas, Verizon, and DC Water. Find out if you qualify. Call 311 today. Qualified residents will get an appointment date with the District Department of the Environment's Energy Office to apply for the utility discount programs. To apply for the telephone discount lifeline service, call 800-253-0846. For complete program details, visit ddoe.dc.gov.
DMV.
Like we always do with this town.
Ready for the best circus ever? Get ready for the Universal Circus. For the young at heart and for the people that
came to get down.
I thought it was real good. Everybody was great.
So you say you saw it last year or you've seen it before?
It's definitely different.
It's something new every year. Don't miss out. Playing June 24th through July 19th at the National Harbor. Visit UniverseSoulCircus.com for tickets and details. Sponsored by McDonald's. Deeply rooted in the community.
News Talk 1450 WOL AM, where information is power.
Welcome back. You're listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. We are broadcasting a program on criminal defense work. We welcome your questions. Attorney Anthony Rico is on the line. He's a noted criminal defense attorney. You can call in if you have questions to 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. Attorney Rico, you're about to tell us a little bit about criminal defense law. Tell us in general, what are the things that people need to know if you are accused of a crime? What are the most important elements that a lay person in interacting with the police at whatever level it is needs to know, please?
You know, Esther, that's a great question, and I'm going to tell you something. In my view, it comes down to knowing three basic fundamental rights.
Okay.
One is that you have a right to a lawyer.
Okay.
Two, you have a right not to be interrogated, which means keep your mouth shut. And three, you have freedom from unlawful searches. So you shouldn't be agreeing to allowing the police to search your car, or search you, or search your home. Get a warrant. They'll say, well, we'll be out here all day. Well, we'll sit here all day.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of your Fifth Amendment, you have a right to be free from self-incrimination. And so you shouldn't be saying anything. You should be saying, hey, I want my lawyer. And what do you need a lawyer for? Blah, 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 and all the rest of that. Let them finish talking. And when they finish talking, say, I want a lawyer. So three things. What your rights are to be free from illegal search and seizure, Fourth Amendment. Fifth Amendment, to keep your mouth shut, and Sixth Amendment, right to counsel. So those are the three components of it. And we see those played out here in New York, for example, in the controversial New York City Police Department style of stop and frisk. And most of the people who are stopped don't know their rights. Now, but this is, if we make it kind of take those and bring it home, you know what happens with us, particularly as African Americans? We are so angered and bitter by the pattern of policing in our communities that have gone on for decades. When the police interact with us, we're angry. And we're legitimately so angry. We're annoyed. Mm-hmm. And so we're amping up the situation just because of the history. And so my recommendation to people is something that, my father told me when I was a kid. So always try to remain calm, cool, and collected. Don't play into the zone they want you to play into. What do you want? No, yes, blah, blah, blah. Use your eyes to take down the name and the badge number. Understand that this person really has a very limited contact with you. What expands his authority is your reaction.
That's a very good point.
If you limit that initial counter, they can't take a step forward legitimately. And then, of course, you never know who's watching to back you up. Today, there's cameras all over the place.
Yeah, that's helping.
So that's a very important thing, the basics. You know, they come knocking on your door talking about they want to come in your house, go get a warrant. Why we got to go get a warrant? What are you hiding? Don't answer that question. I said go get a warrant. You're not coming in here. Plain and simple. Mm-hmm. And then you got to be prepared to wait it out. You really have to be prepared to say, hey, you know what? I'm willing to sit here. You're telling me I have to sit here for an hour? I'll sit here for an hour to protect my rights. Because we have to remember and understand, we sitting there for an hour. But our forefathers took ass whoopings, church garments, beatings, so that we can have those rights. And so we shouldn't be so quick or annoyed to give them up. So knowledge of the rights, the history of how we got to where we are today, helps you control that situation. Now, there are events that are outside of your control. We could talk about with the unarmed shooting of civilians. Look, if somebody's going to shoot you, they're going to shoot you. But I'm not giving you no authority or reason to do it. You're going to be committing cold-blooded murder. And I'm praying that somebody's watching or something. But I'm not going to play into a scenario that we already know these officers are quick to jump to, which is to exercise excessive force against any person of color, be it a senior citizen or, with Tamir Rice, a 12-year-old boy.
Attorney Rico and Ethel, we have a question from a caller.
Okay, thank you, Stacey. Please put them on. Hello, welcome to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell.
Yes, hello, this is Sandra.
Yes, Sandra, how are you?
Oh, fine, thank you. I'm so glad that you have this gentleman in there today. Now, my question, if I might ask, one of them is, what does he feel is going to happen to Mr. Albert Woodfox? He's supposed to have been out in this the state that's holding him. I don't know if it's New York or what, but they're holding him, and they wouldn't not let him out. And then the second thing is, when he's telling us about the first ten parts of the Constitution, I think it's very important to know that, sir, due to the fact that many of our children don't get any of that in high school anymore, and I believe that this is why so many of them don't know their rights. They don't even know the importance, the importance of the Constitution. May I hold on and listen, please?
Please do listen. Please do listen. And just before Attorney Rico answers or responds, I want to remind listeners that last year we had the past president of COBOL, which is the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives, on the program, and he, along with other lawyers we've had on, has told us about COBOL, which you can find online, does seminars, they come to schools, they come to churches, they come to organizations. It's a free service by black law enforcement executives and police officers who will come to your school, to your organizations, to your clubs, and teach children how to interact with the law. And that's an important service that they offer, and I would like people to take them up on it. I mean, Chief Dixon, who's head of the St. Petersburg Police Department, chief of it, was on last year, and he talked about how they will come and they will set up arrangements where, you know, they'll have like four kids in a car and the cop stops you. What are you supposed to do? What do you say? How do you deal with the officers and so on? So that's an important service that I want people around the country to know about. You can find them online. It's the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives. And they will come and teach your children how to behave and how to act when they're stopped by the police. I just wanted to get that in. Attorney, we can
tell us now to get out of the jail.
I think I have to let Mr. Rico now respond to your question, please.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, you know, the caller points to a very important reality. And that reality is attached to this. we learn very little about ourselves in these schools. We have to fight to get African-American studies or history in school. And there are many of us of a certain age, there was no such thing as an African-American class about anything during our education process. So what does it come down to? It's really up to us. We have to be, as a part of our parenting, we have to equip our children about the law, at least the basics of the law. What basic rights do we have in this society, and why it is that it is important for them to understand that they have rights. Now, mind you, let's say a child grows up in an affluent white family. Well, their parents don't have to tell them about be careful for stop and frisk, et cetera, et cetera. Because, see, in the history of this country, there have been no white unarmed children shot and killed by black policemen. It's never happened. But in this country, with Clifford Glover in 1973, shot in the back by Thomas Shea, 1975, Randy Evans, 15 years old, shot point-blank range in the head by a police officer here named Torsney. And as you move forward to this year, last year you have Tamir Rice, 12 years old, shot and killed by a police officer while he's playing. And so we, as adults who have children, have to teach them the basics. And just like we teach our children the basics about sex education and drugs and cigarettes, we have to teach them the basics, not in a way, though, to alarm them, and not in a way to cause fear, but to equip them to deal with reality. You know, when our parents lived in the South, and for some of us, when we lived in the Caribbean before we came up here, you know, we were in dicey situations where grandma or mom or dad or uncle taught us what we needed to know to get from point A to point B. Unfortunately, today, if your child is going to high school and they got to get on the subways or ride a bus or travel in these cities, they need to know the basic information to get from point A to point B in a safe way that protects themselves. And I would agree with the caller. It's just not taught in school. And you're right, Ethel. There are a lot of people around that will come in and help and do things in class. And listen, a lot of the police departments, they do it too. But you got to ask them. And you got to stand there. They're not going to do it on their own. You really have to ask them and get behind them. And they'll get it done. But again, it falls back on us as parents. No one is going to teach us what we need to know to survive. And so we have to remember, when we look back at the pictures of Dr. King and all of the others, Rosa Parks and everyone through the years of our civil rights struggle in this country, that was us helping us achieve. We have that same responsibility. And so, though it's not done in the school, we got to do that at home, and the information is available. You can get it.
May I just end with this? The man's name is Wood Fox down there in Louisiana, and he's been there 40 years, and he's supposed to get out. That's the one I was nervous and couldn't remember, but now I do. Wood Fox out of Louisiana, and he's supposed to come out. Mr. Rico, will they let him out? He wants to come out.
Well, I'm not familiar with his particular case. But I have been involved with cases with another man who was in Louisiana, Wilbert Rideau, spent 44 years in Angola, and he was freed. It takes a sustained, long-term effort. You know, caller, they're not going to let him out. He's going to have to litigate his way out. Oh. And that only happens when you have, like, the commitment of lawyers who are willing to stand by these cases, and a community that remains interested in their lives. For example, like the caller, you know about this guy? This is what I'll tell you. Write him a letter to wherever he is and tell him you're praying for him and you're hoping for him. That helps keep his spirits up. And if you can find out who the lawyers are, contact the lawyers. Just send them a note. Thank you for the work that you're doing. You know, we, all of us, and like we live in our communities, in our homes, you know, sometimes it's frustrating for us. Every day we turn on the TV set, there's some other African-American or Latino person shot, beaten, imprisoned. You know, it is an overwhelming situation. But we can find ways to contribute, to direct our concern. And it could be something as simple as send a card to the defense lawyer, write to the person in jeopardy, or write to the family. For example, I'm an adult. Look, we all had kids. How many of us have written to Tamir Rice's mom?
No, that's a good point.
You know, or Brown's mom.
Like that. Yeah.
You know, and it's not, that's look, these things, are not going, these things are not going to get us on Oprah Winfrey. I mean, we ain't going to be on TV. But
no,
we're not doing it. We're not doing it for that reason. Mm-hmm. We want people to know that, hey, we care, we're concerned. That letter coming from you, caller, to Tamir Rice's mom, or to this man sitting out in Alabama, you'd be surprised how powerful a message that will be. It's the kind of thing that keeps them going and to keep them strong. So
that's important.
Very good point.
Very good point. Thank you. Thank you, Attorney Rico. Thank you, Sandra, for calling in. Thank you. Those are excellent points. I also want to add that there is a the National Bar Association, which is the National Black Bar Association, actually, but it's called the National Bar Association. It's having sessions all over the country called Know Your Rights. And President Pamela Means has been on the program, and she's talked about this. You can Google it. She's been in Chicago and a lot of different cities around the country where they are having open, public gatherings with lawyers who are there for the purpose of teaching people their rights. So that's something else that the public can look into and attend. Yes, Attorney Rico?
Yeah, that's right. Pamela is an outstanding lawyer and a real good
lawyer. Yes, she is.
You know, I participated in one of those programs that was done here in Harlem. And it was put together, and it was a packed house.
There was
a lot of frustration, a lot of anger being expressed, all understandable. But in a small way, we felt that we made some progress. One, it allowed people to know that they're lawyers. Who cares? That people out there that they can connect with, and that some of these issues have solutions, but they're tough. And so you're right. The NBA does it. I was a part of one of the programs they did here in New York in the fall, and it was very well received. It was up at the Minnesota Townhouse in Harlem. And then you also have a lot of lawyers just in their own practices. You know, I've been impressed. You know, I've been practicing over 30 years, and there's like a generation of young lawyers that are coming up. They're outstanding. There's a great, great young lawyer in Brooklyn by the name of Kim Montgomery. Born and raised in Brownsville, practices in the community, a high level of legal representation with a strong sense of, of our history. There's another young lawyer, Xavier Donaldson. I could go on. What happens sometimes is that because we don't control the mainstream media, we get the sense of frustration and isolation. All we hear about is the problems. But we never hear about people are out here making a difference. So that's why, like, for example, this show is so important. Because this is the vehicle by which, hey, somebody in another part of the country found out a person like myself.
You know,
a kid who grew up throwing rocks at tour buses, who's now a lawyer. How did people want to know, how did that happen? What do I do with my son and my daughter? And so this kind of vehicle and others provides people with a sense of hope. When Jesse ran for president in 1984, he ran on a slogan that said, "Let's keep hope alive." And people thought that was just sort of like a jingle. You know, Jesse recognized then the power of hope. And when we see our young people, let's say in Baltimore and in Chicago and in Ferguson, the thing that is powerful about their situation is they're losing hope. But these are our kids. And so we need to be about, we need to be about the business of reintroducing them to something that, let's say, your grandmother taught you, my grandparents taught me, from nothing, which is hope about what the future could bring. And so, you know, that's why I'm happy to do this program this month.
Well, that's why the program got started, that people, I recognize that lay people who only meet lawyers when they're in trouble, they only come to lawyers, even non-criminal situations. Usually, you know, it's a negative situation. You're in a divorce, domestic violence, you're in a business transaction that went bad, you know, a fight over something or the other. That's when most people interact with lawyers. And even business people interact with lawyers, often do so only because they feel they have to. It's a preventative rather than a positive. And there's so much that lawyers can do that is positive, that is empowering. And there's so much information, just like what you just said, that I want you to repeat again, is what you should do if you interact with the police. That's just basic law that people need to know. And that's the whole purpose of this program. That is to tell people what the law really provides in our country so that they can make use of it for their own benefit in their everyday lives. It's important, and it makes a huge difference whether you know or you don't know. What you don't know really can hurt you. It really can.
Attorney Mitchell and Attorney Rico, we have another caller with a question.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Stacey. Hello?
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. What is your question, sir?
Hello. I'm actually phoning from outside the U.S., but I'd like to contribute to this debate.
Okay. Where are you calling from, if you don't mind telling us?
No, I don't mind at all. I'm calling from London, England.
All right. Okay. Well, welcome. Welcome. And your name, sir?
My name is Paul.
Okay. Paul, what is your question, please?
Well, can I make a comment and then ask a question, please?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Not too long, though. Yes.
You were just talking about the relationship between young people and the police. Your lawyer guest made a reference to the stop and frisk, and it reminded me of something we experienced in London some while. I grew up during the 70s, and there was something we had called stop and search, and it was commonly referred to as the sus law, where police were allowed to stop you if they believed that you under suspicious circumstances. They didn't have to have any evidence that you've done anything wrong. They could just stop you and search you. That caused a great deal of problems because obviously a lot of the members of the black community, especially young black males, were targeted. Eventually ended up in some riots which took place within London. And after which you had the people intervene, like different groups, pressure groups, which tried to change the law. Anyway, the long and short of it was that laws were introduced to hold back the so-called sus laws. They were actually repelled. So we no
Very
longer
good.
the police weren't allowed to stop and search you if they had no reasonable grounds to do so. So that was during the, when I grew up during the 70s. Now I'm just a little concerned about the argument which I hear. How young people need to conduct themselves when dealing with police. And the reason why I say that, because I remember growing up during those times, my parents came to this country as children. They came from the Caribbean. And we were told, just like your guest says, we were taught how to get from A to B. But the reality was that when we was out on the street, sometimes the young police officers who would approached us in a very hostile manner, in a very rude and arrogant manner, and that caused us to react back in that manner. Whether we we were told by parents to, you know, try and keep calm or whatever, you know? So what I'm saying to you, the point I'm trying to make is that I think it's now the duty of the adults and the lawyers and the different pressure groups to make changes within the law, as opposed
to... That's right. The caller from London, I don't mean to keep you all up, but that caller, that's the beauty of this show, is that you have somebody contributing to London, and he is making a tremendous point. Now, I want to assure the caller of the following. I'm under no illusion that because my kid knows his rights, he can't be brutalized or shot down in the streets. Absolutely not. The problem that we have with this excessive police use of force has nothing to do with what these young people are doing. These are all police excesses. And your caller is absolutely right. We just didn't get to it yet, Ellen. But here in New York, stop and frisk as conducted by the New York City Police Department was stopped. Just like in London, and I'm very familiar with the circumstances the call is discussing. Lawyers took it on, but not just lawyers. That case involved community activists, lawyers, and people in the community who were willing to take time from their jobs and their circumstances to allow themselves to be plaintiffs in this lawsuit. And the caller is right. The fight is with the policy. The policymakers and how they have the policy implemented. But we're just saying, at the same time, try to remain as calm as you can. As I said earlier, that's not going to stop you from getting shot. If you're dealing with somebody who's going to shoot you, you know, if you remember, and the caller may be able to get it on YouTube, there's the young guy down in the gas station in South Carolina, and the cop tells him, give me your license and registration. He leans over to give the cop the license and registration, and the cop starts shooting. And we see the kid on videotape with his hands up saying, why are you shooting me? And the guy's just shooting away at him.
Oh, my God.
There's nothing that young man could have done to stop that shooting. And even when the police officer was shooting him down, he still says, sir, why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me? And it was just a horrific situation. But caller, listen, you're right on point. Look, you all the way over there in England, but you got your eye right squarely where we are. Where we are on this issue is that we got to raise the level of activism and the level of community involvement with lawyers and our pastors. Like here in New York, we have the great our pastor at Abyssinia Baptist Church, Reverend Butts, and others who are less known but who are involved to sort of come up with ways to undo the policy. And I want to really make this point, because this is always used against us. Well, if you all just act right, this wouldn't happen. No, these situations have nothing to do with what the people did. We're talking about the unarmed shooting of people, the excessive force against people. Remember, between 2004 in 2011, the New York City Police Department stopped 4.4 million people illegally. 4.4 million people were stopped between 2006 and 2011. And so the enormity of this has nothing to do with knowing your rights. Call is exactly right. Right on point. Yeah. It's just something that we can say to ourselves so that we get a sense of arming ourselves. Now, what happens? You're talking to your kid about it. Then you're talking to your neighbor about it. And two neighbors are talking with someone else about it. And then we start something called activism. And then we begin to look at ways to deal with the heart of the issue, which is the way in which people perceive that, you know, we're not entitled to the same rights that other people are. And, of course, this is historical. It goes back to Sanford, and it goes all the way back to Sanford versus Scott, an 1850 decision that said blacks had no rights by which any white person was bound to respect. And here we are 150, 160 years later, still fighting the same fight. And that fight is to get dignity and respect living in society and to be free from excessive and unwarranted police force and discrimination and everything else. You know, the criminal justice system is one of those places where it's a barometer for where we are in terms of race history. You know, when President Obama is elected, everybody's like, jubilee, oh, we now live in a new era, post-racial, well, there was a term for it, only to find out that these people did everything they could to subvert his presidency. And the level of police aggressiveness intensified. So while at the one hand, the New York Times wanted to herald in this new era of racial tolerance, what the criminal justice system showed us is that we still dealing with the same old demon. Mm-hmm. But I like the caller's point. The caller was right on point.
Can I add to that?
Just very briefly, because we're almost through. Yes, very quickly.
Your guest has picked up quite correctly on what I'm saying. Yeah, the last thing I'll say is this, that you got to remember, and I'll ask you, everybody who's listening, this to remember that with the use of this technology, this episode is going out to the world. This is going out to the world, and there's a saying that when America catches the cop, when America sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold. And this episode is taking place to black people, is going out to the world, and something needs to change. Some serious, drastic law changes, you know. And if need be, it needs to be taken on the world stage, so that this sets an example, because this is setting a bad picture.
Very good.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you, caller.
That's what I want to tell you. It's just inspiring for me as a lawyer to hear from him.
It is.
I don't know him. We live thousands of miles apart. But could you imagine? Here we are living in a world where people are focusing on the same issue. This injustice that we experience in here is very, very real. And it's going to take a high-level response. I really appreciate that call. Wow.
That's really quite something. You know, I want you to repeat the steps that you said earlier so that we get that firmly fixed in everyone's mind. What should you do if you are confronted by the police? What should you do? Please repeat that for my audience. So everybody in the country, maybe even in the world, what is the language that should be used? What does the law allow you to do, not to do, to say and not to say? Because I'm a believer that the more you know, the better you do. And so the more of us that know and do what the law allows you to do, hopefully it will help more and more people to stay out of jail. Just stay out of jail.
You know, the bottom line is to have a sense of history.
You may not
and
cut
law.
Everything off, but
The bottom line is remain cool, calm, and collected. You know,
you do
the best you can to control the situation.
Mm-hmm.
As best you can. And if that means calm, I used to study martial art. There are a lot of ways to beat your opponent. And sometimes you're calm. You try to remain calm. And remember, don't agree to allow yourself to be searched, even if you have to stay there all day. Remember that you have a right to a lawyer, and you can ask for a lawyer. And remember, they don't have a right to start going through your bags. And if they do, you don't ever say yes. You never sign a piece of paper. I have to tell you, Ethel, even though we tell people this, case after case after case, people get in custody, they're afraid, they're intimidated. And the police know it, and they use that to their advantage. So remain calm. Try to control the situation as best you can. You know that this situation can get very bad quick. And so knowing that, you almost have to say, okay, what am I going to do to prevent that from happening? Now, I'm not saying you go complying and, you know, drop down on your knees. I'm just saying that what you do is you try to remain as collective as you can. Now, I'm not preaching and saying that. I can tell you a couple of weeks ago, I'm going on the 125th Street subway. I'm on my way to court. I have young fedora, hat on, lawyer. I'm going on that subway. There are very few people that go on that train look like me in the morning. I go down the steps, and there are five cops there. They're doing a search. And I've seen them kind of look at each other when they saw me coming. So they figure, okay, they're going to mess with the black man. So they tell me, can they look in my bag? Now, I know that they have a greater right to search in the subway. So I said, maybe a contradiction to what I'm telling the witnesses of the people. I said, go ahead, you know. And so he says, open the front. So I open the front, and the other guy yells behind me, no, he told you the front. At that point, I back away from the bag and say, you figure out what the front is, and when you finish, let me know. They're looking at me. And then the sergeant picks up, you know, I think we might got the wrong guy here. And so then they hands me the bag, and the sergeant says to me, well, you know, what kind of Metro card do you have? That's the train pass. I said, I have a day-to-day. He says, okay, well, then you could go through the gate for free this morning. Don't worry about it. I said, no, thank you. I picked up my bag and looked to him and said, I'm not going through that gate because I don't want to get shot in my back. And the cop looked at me, and I looked at him, and I used my Metro card, and I kept on going. Because by giving me a free ride, what the police officer wanted me to do was to be complicit with what they were doing that morning. I just sort of refused. Now, as much as I was annoyed with them for doing this, and as much as I knew that them stopping me with my suit and tie on and my briefcase was ridiculous, I knew that it was a part of a bigger game, and I said, okay, we're going to play this thing out. As opposed to, now you know you're not supposed to be stopping me. That's a loser's game.
Yeah.
I'm not coming out of that.
Yeah, when Chief Dixon was on, he made the point. You cannot win a fight with a cop. You can't.
Not on the street.
So No, I mean, you can't win a, well, by that I mean you can't win a physical fight, you can't win a gun battle, you can't win.
We're on the same page.
Period. Yeah, you can't win that battle. So don't even go there. Don't even go there. Don't even go there. You don't even go there. But you do have a right to insist on what the law allows you to do, which is, i.e., no, you can't search me. No, I want a lawyer. I'm not going to give you a statement. No, you cannot, you know, like, don't let them do anything else, or at least maintain your position. And I forgot who it was. I remember the great Donald Temple was on, and during that time it was when, you know, somebody else had just got shot. And they were saying, if you're in a car and you're a black man, you put your, the chief of police said, when I'm stopped by a cop, I put my hands out the window, both hands. Out the window when the guy, the chief of police said that, and he said, because he's a black man, you know, and he said, and he tells the police officer, I am a police officer and I have a gun. He tells him, so if you see a gun, don't start shooting, you know, because there have been situations where, I think it was Donald Temple got $2 million for four cops that were black police officers who were accosted by other police officers, even though they told them that they were police officers.
They were cops.
They were cops, and they still got mistreated by them while they paid some money. This has been great. Yes.
I know that we're running out of time, and I did want to say this.
Yes.
I would say to the people that are listening in that we, not to be discouraged by these times, you know, the caller told us about the internet and social media. You know, this, we need to be inspired by injustice, not defeated or subdued by it. And we need to find ways to equip ourselves to overcome this challenge that's before us as a part of the legacy that we've had in this country since we've been here. Mm-hmm. We need to be confronting today's challenges, and with the same vigor as our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents dealt with their circumstances. And so people, as much as we are offended and heartbroken by every time we turn on the news another situation, we need to change that energy into positive action and to recognize that if we don't benefit from ourselves, maybe our children and grandchildren will, and that we are doing what we can to make the promise of America come true for them. And we do mm-hmm. that by our collective knowledge and our collective energy. There are people in this world, like your caller in London, never knew Anthony Rico. But you find mm-hmm. that there are kindred spirits out there, people with experience and knowledge. I'm a kid from Harlem. I've been practicing 34 years old. Or I used to be a kid from Harlem. Mm-hmm. But the time goes by, and what we discover is, well, Tony Rico gets to meet Ethel. And Ethel knows someone yeah. else. And then we mm-hmm. begin to realize that there are a lot of us out here. We're out
they
here.
Really are. Yeah. They really
and
are.
So I'm really so happy that, you know, we met, you know, this week and connected by a fabulous lawyer who practices here.
Yeah, Ron Burnett. I love him. Yeah, he's in my class. Yes, indeed. I'm so
yeah.
If you're listening, Ron, thank you so much for recommending Attorney Rico for the program. That was just really, really great. Yes. Let me give out your office number if you don't mind. So if people do want to reach you. Is that all right? You can reach Attorney Anthony Rico, that's RICCO, at 212-791-3919. That's 212-791-3919. Do you mind if I give out your email address?
You can. And tell the people we hire kids to work during the summer.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Very good. You can email him at Tony Rico, that's TonyRicco at AOL.com. And again, his phone number is 212-791-3919. His offices are at 20 Vesey Street in New York City. Thank you so much, and listen in next week to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. This is Attorney Ethel Mitchell. We're signing off now. But tune in next week, as I said before, please, to Radio 1450 AM or listen on lawtalkwithethelmitchell.com. Have a good week. Goodbye.
Washington, WPRS HD2 Waldorf, WKYS HD2 Washington, WMMJ HD2 Bethesda, a Radio 1 station, and worldwide at WOLDCNews.com.
Wake up in the morning with Keeping Up with the Joneses.
You guys sound pretty good. I'm having my daily coffee.
Where you dictate what we talk about.
What kind of coffee do you drink, Miss Richard?
Well, I love Maxwell House.
Are they going to pay us for that plug?
That's right. Go ahead, Miss Richard.
There you go, Miss Richard. Wait. You do cream and sugar or no?
We like our news just the way we like our coffee.
Well, I like mine black. If I put cream in it, it won't let me go to sleep. But I drink it black while I'm still here.
Keeping Up with the Joneses, Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. right here on 1450 WOL.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that 4-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Looking to buy a home, rent a home, or save your home? Then come to the We Are Housing, We Are Community 7th Annual D.C. Housing Expo and Home Show. Sponsored by the D.C. Department of Housing and Community Development in partnership with the Greater Washington Urban League. The expo will offer practical and unique opportunities for tenants, homeowners, home buyers, and landlords. Free credit counseling, foreclosure counseling, financial literacy workshops for adults and students, home repair demonstrations, healthy cooking options, and green living alternatives are just a few of the many featured topics. The D.C. Housing Expo and Home Show will take place at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center Saturday, June 27th from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. The event is free and open to the public. To get additional information and to register for Expo workshops, visit www.dhcd.dc.gov or call 202-442-7200. Don't miss this experience.
You don't usually get a stock tip from a 16-year-old, but I'm here to tell you about a different kind of stock. It's called Better Futures, a stock for social change that's not about making money. Instead, you invest to help students like me go to college. This is beyond a simple donation. It's the opportunity for America to invest in its kids and take an active stake in the future of the country. The return on your investment isn't money. What you get back is knowing you protected our potential. So one day, that potential can grow up to become surgeons and architects, executives and engineers, people who can change the future just by being a part of it. My name is Alicia, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. A public service announcement brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
I can make an impact in the world. As young people think that we can't make a difference, but not only we can make a difference, but sometimes we can make the biggest difference.
We wanted to be the doers and we wanted to be the changers.
You just have to find something that you're passionate about and use your talents and your abilities to volunteer.
Volunteering doesn't have to be a chore.
It really is a reward in itself.
It helps you get farther in life.
There is no better feeling than helping somebody else.
You could see one person smile. You could tell they needed that smile, and it could really change and open up your heart to new things.
A lot of things are really competitive about individual achievement. Volunteering is a way to take a step back from that.
See a need, gather friends, and change the world.
Changing someone's world.
It happens now. This is the time. And this is when you learn, so why not start?
Are you a young volunteer making a difference? Apply for the Prudential Spirit of Community Award. Visit spirit.prudential.com.
You don't usually get a stock tip from a 16-year-old, but I'm here to tell you about a different kind of stock. It's called Better Futures, a stock for social change that's not about making money. Instead, you invest to help students like me go to college. This is beyond a simple donation. It's the opportunity for America to invest in its kids and take an active stake in the future of the country. The return on your investment isn't money. What you get back is knowing you protected our potential. So one day, that potential can grow up to become surgeons and architects, executives and engineers, people who can change the future just by being a part of it. My name is Alicia, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. A public service announcement brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
WOL Washington, WPRS HD2 Waldorf, WKYS HD2 Washington, WMMJ HD2 Bethesda, a Radio 1 station, and worldwide at WOLDCNews.com.
Views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
People moving up. People moving in, why? Because of the color of the skin.
Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Vote for me and I'll set you free.
Rap on, brother, rap on.
Well, the only person talking about love, man, brother, is the preacher. And it seems nobody's interested in learning but the teacher. Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration, aggravation, humiliation, obligation to my nation.
Welcome to Keep It Up with the Joneses. We are live in the WOL downtown Silver Springs studio. It's 6:13. Me and Uncle Corn, that is. We sitting here, Keep It Up with the Joneses. We just looking just through the new, what is this, the New York Post? Metro Edition, you want to talk about a ball of confusion. There's a lot of things going on there.
ISIS.
ISIS. Well,
president send 450 troops?
Yeah, that's what he committed.
To ISIS.
He's gonna
now,
fight.
What is 450? But they're going to be traitors.
That was your son or daughter that he sent a battalion of 450 over there. Just them.
Just them.
Well, they got 3,000 there already there. They're going to join the 3,000 that they sent.
But ISIS is getting bigger by the day.
ISIS is recruiting 5,000 a day.
And so 3,500.
Yeah, right. What the point is, they over there training. The 3,000 have been over there about 7 months training the Iraqi forces.
But many of them are surrendered.
We've trained them people 10 times.
We have.
Now we're going to train them again. Now we got 3,000 over there training 2,600.
But they keep surrendering.
No. Well, yeah, well, that's true.
They keep running. I mean,
well, I've been running too. They cut your dang head off. Like, they cut your head off. The people ain't playing.
They not playing.
And, but we got to do something with them because they hate everything we are. That's the point. Everything, just like we talking, they hate every free thing that we do. They don't like Caitlin. They don't like NBA. They don't like whatever we do.
They don't like
the
it.
The white lady that's fooled us and say she's black in the
NAACP
Spokane president. See what I'm saying? They don't like none of that. See, they'll cut her head off. You trying to be that's an infiltrator.
That is an infiltrator. That's exactly what that is.
We don't know the motive now, But see, ISIS wouldn't put up with none of that.
So, but the 450, they must be like the super. They must be super, super.
You know what
soldiers.
It is? The 450, only 100 and like 30 of them going to be trainers. The other 370 going to be security for them to train, for the trainers.
For the trainers.
Right. You got to watch they back too.
But don't you think this actually going to open up the door for more to go in?
Well, this president ain't going nowhere. He don't want to send this. This president is letting the world burn. They fighting in every country over there.
But it goes back to what
they
he said.
They shot a Scud missile in Saudi Arabia last Friday.
Yeah.
And the two Fridays before that, they blew up mosques. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They blew up Friday prayer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The call to prayer. They blew,